Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourassa.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And a quick check of the machine here because we are in the midst of some technical difficulties, but I think we've gotten through them. All right, so in this, the fifth week of the season, getting through with Caps Hockey Talk, and with me, of course, to get through all this is the beautiful, wonderful Mermaid Mentalist, live from Centerville, Virginia, Fairfax County's teaching prodigy, Anna Knox.
Hello. Happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday indeed. And yes, it is indeed Monday, and we have shifted everything, if you were not aware, to bring you, hopefully, a better quality product. So we're recording as of last week, one day early. And so because of that, we have a total of four games to get through. At the time of this recording, Anna's due to be on Sports on the Hill a little bit later on. So if this sounds a little bit rushed, apologies beforehand.
Really, of the four games, two of them I kind of don't even want to mention.
Well, yeah.
But that's okay. We're going to do it. We started off well, but how was your week? Was your week good?
Same old, got a little bit of time off for the holiday, lest we forget, happy Veterans Day. I know this is late for, but it's the official observance, so happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there listening. In particular, Tony Olcott, Chris Levesque.
Ron
Schrantz.
There you go. I was going to say, how do you forget Ron?
I can't forget Ron. Can't forget him at all.
Yeah, and everybody else. There was a really good amount of people posting on Facebook and Twitter yesterday discussing, whether or not they had served or they're married to a vet or their, parents, grandparents. It's really kind of amazing. It's really touching. So, and then our school today allowed, but recognized and appreciated veterans by having them come, and have a good old cafeteria meal with their relative, whether it was a grandkid or son, daughter, whatnot. So that was really cool to see parents, grandparents coming in uniform.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Love that. And, being the son of a veteran myself, I really enjoyed seeing all the recognition, the celebration, and of course around the world it's Remembrance Day. Want to recognize that as well because we do have listeners from overseas. So thank you all as well. For our fans, especially from outside overseas and the Commonwealth of Virginia, State of Maryland, and D.C. Let's just get to it. It was, as I said, four games we're recapping from the week that was to finish out the total of five games homestand. First of the four being the revenge game, as I called it, against the Edmonton Oilers. It's a pretty good game, 4-2 win for our Washington Capitals. And looking at the scoring summary, look who opened the scoring at 2:44 in the first.
Golf clap, Jacob Bron.
Uh-huh. And pretty sure you called that. That's the one you called beforehand.
All right.
Bronna.
Well, I think what I had said was I really hope he just kind of came out, balls to the wall and was like, I don't need to be on the fourth line. But maybe this wasn't it. I don't know. Either way, I've been feeling 13 for since towards the end of last season and then into this season. So he's just really impressed me, and I think he's going to just keep going up, and I've been happy with the fact that he's been consistent, minus the little fuck up with the game we talked about last.
Slippage on the banana peel,
yeah.
whatever
we want to call it. It was embarrassing, I'm sure, and I would imagine being in the locker room after that.
That thing looked like it was straight out of a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
It did. It just kind of, you know, but I also saw one last week of Braden Holtby, and I have to admit, I kind of chuckled a little bit too. It's just, you know, it happens, and that's it. Unfortunately, you know, you're a professional athlete and you do something like that, and they're just going to loop that over and over again. So, Vrana, I still support you, whether you face plant, you know, whatever on the ice, it's all good.
Well, hopefully 70-odd games from now, it's nothing more than that, just something to laugh about.
Exactly.
But way to bounce back for him, fourth of the year, assisted by Devontae Smith-Pelly and Travis Boyd. So, really, really bounce back effort from him being demoted, as you said, to the fourth line. And I don't know what it was about that fourth line, but
it was hot.
They had it going, because exactly 3 minutes later, at 5:44, Devontae Smith-Pelly gets his second of the year on a wrister, assisted by Travis Boyd again, who I believe was making his season debut.
He looked good.
So yeah, that fourth line, they were cooking.
Well, that, you know, it's interesting, because I was watching the game, obviously, and I kept thinking, gosh, you know, this time last week, or, you know, like when we were recording about, you know, Vrana being bumped to the fourth line, and, you know, that I was taking it more as an insult. Hell no, that fourth line is hot. It is that chemistry between the Smith-Pelly, Boyd, Vrana, like, it's just good. It's just good. And Travis Boyd, I will have to say, hats off to him, because please tell me that you saw Travis Boyd jump.
No, I saw it. I saw him.
That was awesome.
He was flying. He was obviously eager to get back to NHL action. Now, you could tell that obviously you never want to get injured, but certainly wasn't in his plans to miss the last week of preseason and then having to rehab the last few weeks. But yeah, you could tell he wanted out there and in the worst way.
But I mean, did you see when he jumped when Smith-Pelly shot the puck and Boyd was in the way, more or less? So he jumped up and in it went. Did you see that?
Yeah, sort of. I vaguely remember that.
Okay. Well, I was impressed. I was impressed, and I take back the little moment I was having with Reardon bumping Vrana down, because that was it. Regardless of where Vrana is, I like what he was doing in this game, and I think with him, when he comes out strong and he scores immediately, like he did, he's not one to say, okay, I scored and I'm going to, you know, just kind of give 80%. I feel like he scores and he gives 110% the rest of the game.
I don't think you can question Vrana's effort at all. I don't think.
No.
This isn't last year where you weren't sure what you were going to get out of him. I think they know what they're going to get out of him. The problem now with Vrana is, they don't know where to put him.
Right.
Obviously.
Right. But that's a good problem to have, to be honest. You know, because you never know. Like, I mean, we'll talk about, you know, when Oshie got injured during the Pens game. that, you know, you're having those moments of, oh my God, if he's out, what are we going to do? How are we going to change up the lines and this and that? You know, the fact that he is that good and that fast and that skilled to me is just impressive. And, you know, just want to keep it going. So it was a great start to that Oiler game with Smith Pelly and Brana, because even their faces when they were hugging afterwards was like just so much admiration and respect for each other that it was very cool. It just makes you love that team that much more.
Certainly. So moving on to the rest of the summary. So the Oilers pulled within one about 5 minutes later when Hockey Jesus,
right.
Connor McDavid, got his double-digit 10th of the year, assisted by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Oscar Klefbom. 10:24 the first. That closed out the scoring on the PP. Closed out scoring in the first period. Second period, TJ Oshie gets what would turn out to be the game winner. 8-11 in the second, assisted by Backstrom and Carlson. Oilers would pull within one again. Leon Dreisaitl, with his eighth, assisted by Adam Larson and Nugent Hopkins again. And then Caps get a power play a little past midway through the final period. The second period, there was no scoring in the third period, and pretty much closes it out as far as that goes. Captain gets his 11th, Carlson his 11th assist, Kuznetsov his 12th assist. Power play definitely clicking, for sure. More on the special teams later in the show. So a quick rundown of the vitals. Edmonton actually ran the table here, almost, with the stats. 33-23 shot advantage. 58% better in the faceoff dot. 1-for-4 on the PP. Caps are 1-for-2. Let's see. Caps out-hit and out-blocked the Oilers. And a little bit better on the possession game. A little even. So maybe they didn't run the table. But much better game overall than the one they played a few weeks ago in the Oil City. Shots on goal by period. Caps were kind of lucky, if you think about it, to get away with this one. Like I said, they were outshot 33-23, 12-11 first period, even 10-even in the second, 11-2 in the third.
Yeah, that was shitty.
Yeah. Phoenix Copley, of course, came away with the first start of the game, and he earned it.
Yeah, it did.
That's going to be another theme to this show. The goaltending more than holding up their end.
Absolutely. 31-33. And he looked good. He's quick. He's focused. You know, we're not, you know, worried about, you know, oh, you know, getting him in there and getting him ready. No, he's coming prepared and ready to play. And I've been a supporter of his, and I'm going to continue to be. So, way to go, Phoenix.
Okay, yeah. Way to go, Phoenix, indeed. sounds weird saying that, but it's oh so true. Okay, so on to the next game, second game of the week, against the dreaded Flightless Birds. Only it was home this time and not in the whatever they call it up there, PPG Paints Arena. Okay, so getting right into it, the ultimate bad guy, Sidney Crosby, opens the scoring with his seventh, 12-16 into the first with a wrister, appropriately enough with a PPG. Captain answers next period with his 12th, also on the power play, 7:09 the second to be exact. This was... an up and down, perfect back and forth game. If you like that kind of thing, actually, the scoreboard may not reflect it, but this game, if you're really into both teams, it had pretty much everything you want. It was, as far as that goes, the complete opposite of the 7-6 shootout. And like I said, if you're into that kind of, if you're into a tight checking game, that's what you had a lot of. Good to see that. And of course, the game winner from TJ Oshie with his eighth, who as I said in my Facebook Live video, did his Paul Kariya impression off the deck of the ice, up on his feet and into the net for his eighth of the season after that dastardly hit by one Evgeny Malkin earlier in the game, which we won't spend too much time on, unfortunately, because we don't have time on and because basically, well, like a kidney stone, it is passed. I hear you bubbling under there, so I know you got something to say about it. So let's
just have it. Fucking hate that guy. I do, and I've said it before. Like, you say his name, and I'm like, God, you are so throat punch worthy. It was such a dirty hit. It was so premeditated, in my opinion. And you know what? If it was Tom Wilson, oh my God, he would have gotten another 20 games. So the fact that he didn't get anything, it was at least worthy of two game suspension, I would have been okay with. But nothing, of course, nothing, because it's the Pens. So I was pissed, but I was even more pissed because it was Malkin, who I just can't stand. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I already said my piece. And that's why I said what I said on the Facebook Live, because I knew ultimately the league would do jack squat about it, which is exactly what they ended up doing. And so the DOPS is exactly how they're spelled. They're a bunch of dopes. And yeah, I'm going to leave it at that too. It's, as far as the rest of the repercussions go, I'm just going to let it pass. So nice 2-1 win. Got him where it counts. Got a win in regulation. So no loser point, no giveaway point, no nothing. Check of the vitals here. Ooh, boy. You would not have thought that the Caps were going to come away with the win.
Agreed.
Just
shots on goal itself. That was the statistic that was just cringeworthy. But somehow it works in our favor.
So, well, I don't know about working in our favor, but it's a testament to how efficient our shooters are and how awesome one Braden Holtby was.
Oh, right.
So stop me if you've heard this before. 42 shots, 41 saves for the bearded one. Yes, you heard me say that right. 42 shots for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Only one went in. How many shots did the good guys have? 42. 42. What's wrong with that comparison? A lot. Faceoff dot. Caps are losers again. I'm looking at you, Jay Beagle. I kind of wish we had you back, sort of. 52% to 47.5% for the bad guys. Power play chances. I can't explain about Caps ended up with six power play chances, so you can make that of what you will. That might have just mean that the Caps were taking the play more to the Penguins if they got that many more chances, which ultimately is a good thing, but only 1 for 6, which power play of that magnitude should be, and they were number one at the time, should be better than that, 1 for 6, that many opportunities. Mm-hmm. Penguins got three chances, capitalized on one. Penalty minutes, as reflective in the chances we just discussed, 20 minutes for the Penguins, 6 for the Caps. Probably half of that was Malkin's game misconduct.
His temper tantrum.
Yeah, that too. Total hits. Surprisingly, Pittsburgh out-hit the Caps 28-22. Block shots, Caps had 21 to Pittsburgh 17. Possession game, slight edge to the flightless Birds. 15 giveaways, but 11 takeaways. So both numbers higher than the Caps. There was that. Shots on goal, 7-10-5 for the Caps in each period. Like I said, you wonder how they got away with winning this game. Well, here's how. Braden Holtby was the number one star. So, again, their goalie bailed them out. Once again, TJ Oshie, of course, with the second star, with the game winner, and John Carlson with the third star. So, yeah, a bit of a squeaker there, but had it not been for Oshie's resolve and, again, Braden Holtby's brilliance, they come out of it with a regulation 2-1 win. That's major points to bank at this time of year, and we all couldn't be prouder.
Absolutely. And I say that I, you know, other than watching the game and laughing at how awesome karma is for Oshie to pull out a goal at 18:46 in the third was just amazing. But I will say that I was a little concerned after this game. I think it was the next day that then we all heard about John Carlson being injured. And I thought, okay, was this it, during the game? I don't know how I missed it. Or was it just because I was so fired up over the Malkin incident with Oshie that that just became the focus? But did we ever figure out what it was that Carlson was out for when they played the Blue Jackets?
I thought it was a late, it was a shot that he blocked is what,
okay.
What I thought I heard. I think I read that somewhere. I wasn't sure. And speaking of the next game, you're going to help me out because I saw all of maybe 10 minutes of that game. We had some family in for the weekend, and so I was otherwise obligated, not to mention worn down. Like I said, I saw maybe first 10, 15 minutes of it, and it was just...
It was bad.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't anything to write home about. Obviously, I have the important stuff in front of me. But I mean, what did you think of the game overall?
Well, I would say after I thought they coming off of two great wins and you know riding that adrenaline high and still being at home, that we were going to be able to to face the Blue Jackets and just keep it going, but they looked tired. And there's that word, I'm tired of saying it, but it was sloppy. They looked slow. They were kind of all over the place. It just was a lot of missed passes. And with the exception of Holtby, that's probably the only person that stood out to me in the game. But I felt, you know, and Niskanen because he scored, but even then, it was 60 minutes of hockey, and I would say that the Capitals showed up for maybe 25 minutes. It was bad. It was actually, it was almost kind of boring because it was, you know, you're sitting back watching this thinking, oh yeah, we had an opportunity. Oh yeah. Okay. There it's taken away. It's penalty. It's this, it's that sloppy. So I don't know what happened between if they were, you know, celebrating the Pittsburgh situation and the win there. And all of a sudden, you know, 48 hours later, we're just not with it. So yeah, I mean like Blues got on the scoreboard first and Niskanen scores his third, with his assist from Backstrom and Kuzi. What did I just say?
Blues.
I'm sorry.
That's kind of funny. Mrs. Blue Liner did the same, said the exact same thing. When we were talking about the game.
So funny. I know. It's like, I have it here in front of me. And yeah, the Blue Jackets. Okay, Columbus. Yeah, let's get with it, Anna. Yeah, call me out. Because I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, it was just a boring game. It wasn't impressive. And I kind of was hoping after this game, it would have been one of those, you know, coach moments that I'm often referring to where you're either getting your, you know, your ass is handed to you and your coach is telling you all the things that you did wrong or all the things that you need to work on. And you come into the next game 48 hours later at home, ready to just kick ass. And apparently that didn't happen because last night's Coyotes game, not so pretty either. So,
well, before we jump into that, one good thing that I think we ought to mention that did come out of the game against the Blue Jackets.
The Blues. Just kidding. Oh my god. Fucking A.
You knew it was coming.
You know what? I forgot. And I was here, I'll say. Oh, my God. I can't believe I have to talk over it.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Jeez.
I was thinking, okay, yes, I knew it was coming at some point. Yes, he should be acknowledged, of course. However, when I contacted you at 5:05 or whatever and said, hey, you good to go, you know, earlier tonight to record, and everything was good, and then you said we're having technical difficulties, the first thing that came to my mind was, yes, maybe I won't have to be subjected to the yodeling, because I feel like I'm just going to open my mouth at some point and say something, and you're just going to throw that in my face, and that's that. And I probably just set myself up for that, too. But, yes, go ahead. Give love to our a little alpine climber.
So, You out there listening, if you're not quite sure what it is we're referring to, of course, Jonas Siegenthaler broke through and made his NHL debut in that game against the Blue Jackets. Did not make it onto the score sheet, as there was only one goal by the Caps, that by Matt Niskanen on the power play. Once again, demonstrating his unheralded ability to shoot the puck from the power play point, which, of course, we're going to love here. But Mr. Siegenthaler acquitted himself very, very well in this game. Played probably, I think it was slotted on the third pairing. So let's see here. If we can gather his information, he ended up with 12 minutes and 13 seconds time on ice. Not too shabby. So looks like he got into about 15 or so shifts. I don't see a minus point for him, so I think he came out okay in that regard. Yeah, he acquitted himself very well, I think.
He did. He. You know what? I was happy to see him out there, and it felt like he was. You know, you come out and you know you do that first lap by yourself and you got the crowd going crazy and it's such an adrenaline rush, and I would imagine that the nerves are just, you know, out of control. But he's adorable to be when he's interviewed. He's just got a great vibe about him. And I thought, you know what, for his first NHL game, it was good for him. Good for him. Yodeling or not, the guy's got a great future.
Now, something else that, and this is something you probably are going to disagree with, but I thought it was, potentially a stroke of genius, but they had, I'm pretty sure this was the game where they had Dmitry Yashkin on the top line with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, and I thought it was potentially a stroke of genius, and in fact, I would like to compare it to putting, very surprising, but putting pineapple on pizza.
No. Who does that?
Oh, that's a disgusting. Lot of people.
No,
Hawaiians that's... for one.
No, it's
you
a
disgusting. You don't like
pizza.
That?
No, God, no.
You don't like that at all?
No.
Mr. Producer Jeffrey's kind of giving me a half-assed look, like he doesn't know what to. Yeah, but you're definitely no.
No pineapple on pizza.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure what your reference is. I will say that what am I missing here?
I saw one of your tweets that referenced that. So I
pineapple
that,
pizza.
You kind of retweeted something about pineapple on pizza being really bad, so I figure I'd work it in.
Oh. About it. So I don't remember what I post. Come on now. No, I will say he's 23. Is that correct? Is that his number?
Yes, that's him.
Okay, so it appears that Anna Knox is drawn to the number 3. And let's just go down with that. I am pulling for 13, 23, and 43 this season.
Even though it was Yashkin who took Vrana's place on the top line?
Yes, because I like him. I think he's good also. But only because when I saw what Vrana did and who he was with, it's okay. I'm all good. As long as none of my threes, my little trifecta, are a healthy scratch, hell yeah, put him out there. I'm good with it. Braun approved himself. I'm waiting for Tommy to come back. I can't stand the fact that Tommy's not going to be in the next three games because it's going to be so physical and so tough. But I got faith. So yeah, it seems to be this number 3 is going to be my maybe my lucky charm this year.
All right.
Maybe.
Sounds good. Okay, so for that game, quick rundown of the important stats. 36-34 shot edge for the Blue Jackets. Caps did somewhat better in the faceoff dot, winning more than half, 52-5. Five power play chances for the Red, White, and Blue from D.C., one converted. PK really let them down. I'm not talking about Subban. For the Caps. Three power play chances given up to the Blue Jackets. They managed to convert on two of them. And PK being bad is going to be a theme for other games as well. At least one other anyway. Slightly out hit 24-19. More block shots for the Blue Jackets. At least the Caps were, you could say this much, they were much more aggressive on the offensive end of things, at least. But, you know, only the one goal, you know, is saying they're living and dying by the special teams, and that ain't a good way to play.
Agreed.
And judging by the shots by period, I think the game kind of tailed away from them. 15-9 shot edge for them in the first period, but then they kind of tailed off, as I said. So the 10 shots in the second, 16-10, they were outshot. Only 9 in the third, outshot again in that period. So, yeah, I think the game just kind of got away from them. I don't know what happened. They ran out of gas. Who knows? Like I said, I didn't get to see all of it. But I guess whatever the top line additions they had, pineapple and pizza, did not work out for the coaching staff, because the very next game, they changed that in a hurry.
Yes, they did.
So that very next game would be a Sunday matinee, late matinee, against the Howling Dogs of the Desert from Glendale, Arizona. And that was... yeah, this one was probably the worst of the five games of the homestand. And this was the one that, unfortunately, I got to sit through, even though I had a bit of a stomach ache. I don't know if it was from the game or something I ate, but I was in pain either way, personally. All right, so let's just, no nice way to put this, let's just get to it. All right, so 16:56 into the first, Arizona gets a power play. Guy by the name of Hinestroza, Gesundheit, gets the power play goal to open the scoring, as I said, on the power play. No scoring until about 12 minutes into the second. Guy by the name of Panic. Panic!
Stop.
Stop.
Just say their name. We don't need stop. Just get through this already.
All right. So Richard Panik with his fourth of the year unassisted. Then Backstrom pulls them within one. Captain gets his seventh assist. Madison Bowie with his first assist of the year. Want to say he's improving his game. And proving himself to be maybe a mainstay in Orpik's and Carlson's absences. Okay, so unfortunately, though, about 2 minutes later, Arizona goes up by two again. Alex Galchenyuk with his third. Oliver Ekman-Larsson with his ninth assist. And also second assist by a guy named Perlini. Which is what I think I ate that night. No, it wasn't. It was something else. Some Italian dish. Well, it wasn't Perlini. Again on the power play, PK let them down again. Ugh, something's got to be done there. And then the last goal of the game, Derek Stepan, an old Caps nemesis, with his fourth of the year, Galchenyuk and Clayton Keller with assists on that. That was the empty netter that capped the scoring. And again, easily the worst game of the homestand. Just awful, awful, awful all around. Check of the stats. Ironically enough, Washington got 39 shots in this game compared to 22 for Arizona. So I think that only one of maybe two games out of the five-game homestand that they actually, had the edge in shots. Also had the edge in the faceoff dot, 51.6%. Power play, another part of the special teams, 0 for 2. On the other side, penalty kill was 4 for 6. Not good, not great. And out hit the Desert Dogs slightly, 20 to 18. Possession game clearly favored the Coyotes, though. They clearly did more with what they had. 3 giveaways only and 11 takeaways. Shots on goal by period, Caps hit double digits in all three, 10, 16, 13, 39, but, matter it with that as long as you run into a hot goalie, which, Bobrovsky in the game before and Darcy Kemper in this game, turned out to be, thus earning him the first star. So, he stood pretty tall, but I don't know. Just didn't seem like they could get anything past him, which...
No, he looked hot, I have to admit. You know, I was kind of shaking my head. I will say I was frustrated that they didn't put Copley in. I thought it would have been the perfect opportunity for him to get a couple more games under his belt. I don't know why they put Holtby in. It was not necessary, and it was a terrible game.
So you wanted Phoenix versus Arizona?
I wanted Phoenix Copley in versus Arizona.
Okay, you wanted Phoenix versus Arizona then?
Okay. I just
wanted you to clarify. That's all.
Yeah. No, you're wanting me to clarify your statement.
You opened the door wide for that one.
Mm-hmm. And no one, and everyone else will understand what I'm saying, and then you've got to bring it back to Phoenix versus Arizona.
That's what you said. You wanted Phoenix.
God. Phoenix Copley. All right, anyways. No, the things that irritated me during this game, I've got three of them, and then, you know, we're good to wrap up, I'm assuming. Didn't care that I wish they would have put Copley in. That was my first annoyance. Second one, getting over Orpik, Orlov, like no other. I'm number 9 is not impressing me. If anything, he's irritating me, and I need to see something else.
Yeah.
Thirdly, the fact that we had penalty minutes were 12 is a little ridiculous. So I was not happy with this game. I was frustrated. I was bored. And once again, they looked tired and sloppy, and it was not a fun game to watch. And not the way that they need to head out to go play these three teams this week that are kind of rocking the NHL right now, so. Oh boy.
Yeah, no, it's good that you mentioned the penalties last, because I was very disappointed with that as well. In fact, I thought the worst penalty towards the end was about a minute into the third period. They were still more or less in the game, and then I don't know what TJ Oshie was thinking, but that high sticking penalty. I mean, basically. Him doing that, and I don't know. It was just very surprising that he would take something like that, especially considering he himself got hit in the head a few games before. And
correct.
By the way, just one last dig at the dopes for not considering supplemental discipline. I mean, come on. They had to take him to the quiet room. Do you know why they call it the quiet room? Because everybody talks like this. Because you get hit in the head. You don't want any loud noises. So they talk like this. They talk to you like this. And they check you out in the quiet room. Because if you make loud noises, it can make things worse. If you have a massive head injury. So they have to talk like this and check you out. That's why they call it the quiet room.
Got it.
Ow. That was actually rather loud. But you did get that?
I got it.
Okay. Okay. I figured you would. You're no dummy, as you've proven so many times. I mean, complete lack of discipline by this team, I think that's... I just don't get that. I don't get that at all. And I don't know, maybe just too much good home cooking, too much of something bad, but it just, I don't know. I don't like the way that they just seem to completely unravel towards the end, and just, I don't know, just no bueno all around, except for Holtby's effort, I thought, which you might disagree, but I mean, I thought he kind of held things together, at least for the most part, or tried to.
All right, but it shouldn't have to come down to him. They should have put Copley in, and it ended on a sour note for sure. So let's just hope that going into the next couple of games, how are we on time?
I was just about to ask, Mr. Producer Jeffrey, how are we looking on time? He says we got about 5 minutes left. Okay, so that is just enough time to do a quick rundown of the farm report, also known as the report from our chocolate soldiers. I don't have our farm music queued up, so I will just go to from the farm. This is courtesy, of course, from our listener, Don McLaren. This covers this past weekend of 11-11. Bears had two games. They split the two. First game was against the Springfield Thunderbirds, home at the Giant Center this past Saturday night. Winners 3-2. All three goals, stop me if you heard this before, came on the power play from Megna, Walker, and Riley Barber, respectively. Power play had easily their best game of the season. PK was still perfect at the time. When we last left you, they were perfect. They still were 6-for-6 on the game. Ilya Samsonov was in goal, stopped 31 shots out of 33 directed at him, 17 in the third period alone. Second half of the weekend tilt saw the Bears go to Syracuse to face the Crunch. And that's exactly what happened. They got crunched 7-2. Scarbosa showing his clearly the best player on the team. He gets his 6th of the year. Barber not too far behind. He gets the other goal, his 5th of the year. Don goes on to say PK came crashing back to earth as the Crunch got 5 opportunities and scored on all but one of them. Which, yeah, pretty much killed everything. So Don goes on to say, who is outstanding in their field? A little farm joke for us all, haha. And he mentions Garrett Pilon as well as Tobias Geiser. Pilon is a forward, 7 assists this year, no goals, but he says that like the dam bursting, the floodgates are going to open, so he's sure to get his first. And Tobias Geiser, youngest on the team at 19, he's on the back line, sure to get more playing time with Yodely guy Siegenthaler and Aaron Ness now have been called up to the Caps. He's a big boy, 6'5", 206, product of the Swiss National League, so he says keep your eye on him. And, of course, he's saying Ilya Samsonov had the one good game, one bad game, but real good effort. So likes his promise as well. So there's going to be three players there that he says will be the ones to watch as far as this coming season and ones in the future. So appreciate your material there, Don. So Anna, it sounds like you're Anson to go here. So no final thoughts, I take it.
No, I'm just hoping that the boys can play smart hockey, fast hockey. The next 3 games are going to be tough. You've got Wild, Jets, Avalanche. They've got great records. They've got fast players. Just Patrick Laine alone is a force to be reckoned with. So I'm hoping for the best always, and I'm hoping that this will be, we'll get the lines figured out, and yeah, let's hope my threes do well, even though Tommy's out, but let's hope 23 and 13 just step it up.
Your brain.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So with that, we're going to wrap it up here. And so again, really, really hoping, I had to drink a lot of tea to calm my nerves because of what I saw. So really, really hoping this road trip, just like Anna said, is a chance to bond, chance to improve things, chance to find themselves. So, yeah, we're really hoping for that. So for Anna Knox and for Mr. Producer Jeffrey, who's telling me to wrap things up ASAP, this is the Blue Liner on Point. Reminding you that a penguin builds his house, it glues it together.
Really?
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.